to your point, I noticed that about my own viewing habits and of other people's viewing habits. They'll binge watch something like Stranger Things because it's just insane and they just can't wait to get to the next one. But not everything is that hooky, right? So, you know, and then you look at, like, to your point, you look at Westworld and it's like, I cannot wait for tomorrow night to see what happens on Westworld.
Hi, and welcome to Episode Cine Nation. I am Brandon Sparks.
And I'm Ben Gertz.
He's in Portland. I'm in Los Angeles. It's raining there. It's not raining here.
Yeah. These are all shortcuts. It's all shortcuts. Brandon, you know why we're excited? We had Barry back on the show. Barry came back.
We do have Barry back on the show. Barry came back on the show. We just, a little while ago, finished the interview with him. And I probably asked some very terrible questions early on.
No, Brandon's throwing himself under the bus. It was great. Barry, very kind to come back on. We covered a lot of Netflix stuff again. And basically, you know, we already told him 2017, we'll bring him back in a year. We'll talk more Netflix.
We'll bring him back. It's the Barry Enderwick Fest is what we're going to do like every year around this time.
He needs a panel at our film festival that we end up having.
Yeah, it'll be great. Barry's great. We had a few emails back and forth talking about Ash versus the Evil Dead and like Evil Dead and everything. And he's a great guy, and he's constantly he writes some stuff on Medium as well. We got in touch with him a year ago to give you guys some backstory. He had wrote a article about what was the article called again that we got him for?
You're throwing me on the spot here, Brandon. People can listen to the old episode.
How to copy Netflix. That was his big thing, was like how to copy Netflix and how it's very difficult for other companies to do it. And that's how we got in touch with him, because Hunter Barcroft, the other podcaster we have, or one of the other podcasters we have, he reached out to him, and Barry gladly came on the show, and we were very glad to have him. And yeah, it's a lot's changed in the past year. That's why we wanted to bring him back on, because we had been sitting on a couple of things recently that we wanted to talk about, like Amazon, like Netflix. And we don't want you guys to listen to us talk about Amazon, Netflix every episode. So we were saving it for this one. But before we play you guys the interview, Ben, what have you been watching? Because we have to talk about that. It's been a few weeks since we've talked. And so we got to get reacquainted, Ben, like we have to.
All right. Well, you know what people should be listening to is they should go back and listen to episode 26, which I did in preparation for this. It's great. It was the original interview with Barry, but I've been watching Westworld. I've talked about it in the show today, but I've been setting aside one whole hour a week and making that a priority so that it doesn't get spoiled. So what about you, Brandon?
Yeah, and I've been watching Westworld as well. I think Westworld was the first show I think we almost all watched together at the same exact time.
Yeah.
Like,
which is big for me. I was the lag in that usually.
And see, I was the last one to watch it out of Thomas Hunter shocked. And me. And I was like, what is going on in the world? This is crazy. But yeah, so like we talk about in the show, every Sunday night now, it's like, if you don't watch it by Sunday night, there's a good chance it's going to get spoiled in our podcast text. And I'm not pointing fingers of who usually does it. They know who they are. So Westworld's been one of the big things for me. I've been trying to catch up on certain movies. I saw Allied. I got to go to that's the Robert Zemeckis movie.
Brad Pitt, right?
Brad Pitt, Marion Cotillard. I got to see a screening of that beforehand. Really good film. It's a throwback to I think old like 1930s and 40s movies, these like spy thrillers. Really well done. Robert Zemeckis, it's a great well-directed movie, and great performances in Brad Pitt and Marion Cotillard. I hope to see her get nominated for an Oscar. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, it's really great film. But the big thing is go watch Westworld, because Westworld needs better ratings than what it has right now.
It got renewed. Don't worry. No,
that's
got renewed.
All that matters.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
But
it's fine.
It's crazy that I hear a lot of people talking about it, but it's just not really showing that much in the numbers. Does that make sense? It's like Totally. A lot of my friends are watching the show, and like, and it's, there's a lot of stuff online about it, but it's just like not picking up the numbers that say Game of Thrones did. But Game of Thrones also had the books, the audience already there. But even True Detective season 2 like did better, or is
yeah,
is the numbers.
Well, we'll do an episode on this, Brandon, because we gotta get to the end of Westworld, and then we'll recap.
Okay,
and we'll talk numbers. We got so much to talk about. This episode with Barry is great. People got to get into this. Skip through all this and get to it. Let's go.
Okay, guys. Thank you guys for listening. We hope you enjoyed this interview with Barry Enderwick. Make sure follow us on Medium, all that great stuff. You can listen to other episodes and hear us talk about that. But yeah, we hope you enjoy this episode of Barry. He was so great, and we're so happy to have him back on.
Welcome back to the show, Barry.
Thanks for having me.
It's been almost a year, yep. Which is really wild to think about. It does not feel like a year.
Mm-hmm.
And you're still our most popular episode, which is great.
That's
true.
That's ridiculously flattering. Thank you.
Yeah, you are the big draw.
Well, let's be fair. I think Netflix and the inner workings of Netflix are the draw, but I'm happy to play a part in it. So.
Sure. Yeah. So this time, I mean, we're going to talk about whatever comes up because there's been a whole lot of change in the past year. But I do have, you know, related kind of they're really like branding questions. So we're not going to get locked in exactly to Netflix.
Okay.
But I don't know. Since Netflix is our anchor, we'll kind of start with those, right?
Okay.
So here's one that we've debated on the show since you've been gone.
Yeah.
I'm gonna make this a series of pop song references.
Excellent. Yeah, exactly.
That are not very clever.
I love it.
So Netflix original content has gone bonkers in the past year, as far as the amount. Like I saw, and we talked about this a little bit, where the Emmy, the considerations for the Emmys, right, where they ship out just big chunks of DVDs for all the reviewers. Mm-hmm. The Netflix box is huge.
Yep.
Right, and it is all the things that they've made in the past year.
Yep.
And like as a subscriber, you're like, well, you know, they charge me $10 a month. I don't know. Like you listen to some of the chatter that people got really angry over some of the price changes, right? Like going up by $1.
Yes.
Was this big come undone?
Yeah.
And yet when you see it in a physical form, when you see the like it's like four huge bricks of DVDs.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
If they were shipping you those, people would be out of their minds.
Yeah.
Like, they would just be like, this is fantastic.
Yep.
Right? This is such a bargain. But somehow, that's not necessarily the narrative that we have, right?
Yeah, I think you're right. If you show a physical manifestation of what they're doing, it would be pretty mind-blowing. And, you know, it's just because that's just the nature of streaming. It's how the content is delivered. And the way it's consumed. So, excuse me. So, yeah, no, I, you know, people get upset about stuff, but they get over it. And if you have the content that they like, they're going to come back.
Yeah.
I mean, to wit, the Quickster debacle.
Right.
There was a price increase before that, and then Quickster happened, and we lost lots of subscribers. But even before I left, we started seeing a rebound. And it's because, you know, Netflix stayed true to its brand and its brand position. And then after that, executed on the original strategy.
And we talked about that last time, the brand promise, right, of like easy, making it easy.
Yep.
So this is one of the things that we've, you know, the Adam Sandler deal kind of stood out to us a little bit. Just because people were somewhat surprised, but, you know, when they came out and said, look, Sandler Films do fantastic on the service.
Right.
This is a no-brainer deal for us to do. But it brings up this question of, you know, HBO didn't make the Sandler deal, right? Mm-hmm. And they probably never would, because you have a sense from the brand of HBO, you know, that they're, like, from watching Westworld and The Wire, and you go down the list of their shows, no matter what it is, there's going to be this HBO-ness to it, right? Game of Thrones, you can kind of pinpoint it. Like, in Westworld, I'll put this out there to make this an awkward conversation, but it's the orgy scene that they had thrown into, like, episode 4 or 5, where it's like, there's no reason that this exists other than that it's an HBO show.
Yep.
That's just my read of it. It's like, people's critique of it is like, why is this here? because they can, and that's just a thing that HBO does.
Yeah, they were also trying to show that the theme, the thread that ran throughout that part of the park was actually hedonism, decadence, and wanton destruction of everything. So I think there was a reason for having it there. You're right, that to the scale at which it was put in there was HBO. Sure.
You've butchered my straw man. So the you've been decapitated. But it's, I'm putting the two things together, which is that it seems like HBO has a clear tone, perhaps, right?
Yeah.
And Netflix doesn't really. When you look at their list of original content, it's like its quality in many cases, as we kind of define it, is like, well, it's good. You know, they're trying to make. They're not trying to make shitty things, right? We can all kind of assume that's the target. But the Adam Sandler deal, in a way, is like, the question is, how far can the brand travel, right? Because it includes children's television, which HBO does as well. But they're including things like Sense8, and you go down these like big picture things. But when you really start to look at the list, they have a lot of these genre pieces. Mm-hmm. They have, and then they have the Adam Sandler things, which to some people is almost like a turnoff to the it was promoted heavily on the service. I'm pushing on this straw man a little bit further.
I would argue that it was promoted heavily on the service because something in your profile had its surface, right? Because
before you make that
honestly, all the stuff that you see on screen is algorithmically determined based on viewing patterns and associations that they can make. So, and it may not be that you like Adam Sandler movies per se, but you liked something that was tangential to it, and so therefore it showed up. And you know, and you're right. I think that HBO has a tone, but I would argue that Netflix has many tones. And I think what it comes down to is Netflix. So when back in the DVD days, we got expert at working on the algorithm, tweaking the algorithm to get better and better at taking advantage of long tail content and surfacing movies that you might not have seen, but you'll love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So that continuous data feedback loop was refined and refined and refined. Well, now they're taking advantage of that to help determine what content to create. And so to the extent that, you know, Sense8 has to succeed. It has to succeed for this audience. That's a particular subset of their subscriber base, and the payoff has to be that that audience retains, and that the proxy for that audience and the non-member base gets attracted to and signs up for it. And that we have determined that it's going to be X amount of dollars. So in the case like Adam Sandler, if you step back and you look at the totality of the brand, like we kind of do, we kind of look at it from a business perspective. It seemed kind of a weird thing. But for them, it was like, we paid X amount of dollars, we got these six pictures, and they are a hit, not just in the United States, but across the globe with that specific audience. And that's the thing with that Netflix did, which was brilliant, was the House of Cards being the first one. Because that set the tone for, we make really great shit. So, and then they followed up with Orange is the New Black, and people are just, their minds are blown that Netflix has come anywhere near the quality of HBO, let alone do better than HBO, maybe, some might argue. So, that set the tone. So then, when they sign the Adam Sandler deal, it's kind of like, well, that's kind of weird, but I'm not going to watch it. But you'll still go back to Netflix. You know, it doesn't tarnish their brand. I think there's a strategic reason why they're multi-tonal, as opposed to HBO's.
Yeah.
And again, HBO, now that they're direct, they'll be able to get that data feedback loop going, but they just don't have the depth on it. And I don't think it's helping to guide their decisions on what shows to grab.
I'm going to set up, you got one, Brandon? Because I'm going to keep.
Well, I was going to kind of bring up the fact it's still kind of going the original content type stuff, but Netflix, I think, is a lot better at doing original content for television. And I think the competitor they have when it comes to film is Amazon. And
which is where I was actually going, Britton.
Yeah. So I was more like, I'm not entirely sure how to form this question, but why is it, do you think, that Netflix, or like Amazon's going after kind of big directors like Woody Allen or Spike Lee, like these kind of prestige type stuff. Mm-hmm. Do you think, why is, do you think there's a reason why Netflix kind of isn't going that route, or are they just going with what the data is saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah, so I think based on viewing data, I think that television was the obvious choice. So that it's one of those things that people can watch one episode or they can binge. So that was a logical starting part. They are going after cinema. That's going to be part of their 2017 move, is to make more full-length movies. And they struck a deal with one theater chain to have it premiere day and date.
Yes, right.
So that's a signal that they're going to get into that for sure. But it was just that far and away people were watching, and the trend line was that more and more people were watching more and more episodic content on Netflix than they were movies. And so that seemed like the way to go to
yeah,
launch.
I mean, so the analogy in some ways, I'm going to sink the ship now with a political analogy.
All right.
Right. But if Netflix is the Clinton campaign, which was extremely data driven, I'm sinking the ship now, right?
Yeah.
But there was long stories about how data driven their campaign was. The highest paid person in the campaign was their data analyst, right? Yeah. And every bit of the campaign was driven by from the schedule to the messaging to the TV buys. Everything was data driven, right?
Right.
This is an unfair analogy, but it does seem like Amazon has come in like a bull in the china shop in the past year. And when the news was going around that Birth of a Nation was being, there was a bidding war. It from what I read, Parker passed on the Netflix offer because he wanted a larger theatrical deal.
Yeah.
And Netflix has been anchored to this day and date in a way that Amazon clearly isn't. They're willing to spend, you know, as much or more and give away the day and date aspect of the deal just to get those prestige things. And one of our bets on the show is that Amazon is likely, I'm putting it on the table, but it's likely that they'll win an Oscar first because of this sort of bravado, right?
Yeah.
A willingness to spend in a way that's not data driven,
right?
Or as data driven.
No, I think I think you're right. I will point out that the data driven decision making on creating content isn't just like, oh, this plus this plus this, okay, let's sign a deal. there's Ted Sarandos, who's the chief content officer, and his team, which are amazingly smart, have been in the business for years, and have a keen understanding of what might and might not work. So they're not going to just do a deal based purely on data. They actually will, they will step in and provide their two cents. But I think you're right in that Amazon is willing to do things that Netflix is not willing to do. So they're possibly going to get more shots at something that's Oscar worthy because of it. But I don't, you know, first Oscar doesn't really matter too much because they'll both get Oscars at some point, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I mean, they're both clearly spending to get one in the next couple of years,
right? And so Netflix likes to pick a strategy and stick with it until they until they're pretty sure that something's coming down the pike that's going to change and make them need to change it. And so one of the things is like offline viewing, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
That was just we debated it back and forth throughout the years we were there. While I was there. And it was always that's not on strategy. We're not about watching offline. We're about watching on Netflix. But you've seen comments from Neil Hunt and from Reed Hastings recently that indicate that there might be a change in direction on that, because they understand that there's a value to it potentially, and it'd be worth shifting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. And, you know, for me, I started watching a couple Amazon shows because I could offline watch them on my commute.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do that with Netflix. You know, I go through a tunnel for 8 minutes.
Yep.
And in that 8 minutes, I can't be in the middle of a House of Cards episode, you know? So.
Yep. Yep.
So this, I'm coming back around to sticking to a strategy a little bit. I'm setting up a whole bunch of straw men for you to knock down, Barry. But I'm hunting. I'm hunting.
Okay.
Here.
All right. Let's see where we go.
Binge watching. Everything drops in totality, an entire season. That's been from the beginning. They always have done that, right?
Yes.
From a user, we've been doing some user research at work, right? And so I'm bringing this in. But you ask people, you know, you ask people like, why do you use? Ours was around mobile photography and image review and things like that. And people talk, you can get very simple surface answers, but right, the purpose is to try and get down to underlying intent or desire or, you know, these underlying motivations, right?
Yeah, you're laddering.
So I think about the difference. I've been watching Westworld, but I haven't been watching The Get Down. But but I think I would like the show. I think I would. But in my own mind, I'm using myself as a sample of one, right? In my mind, I'm watching Westworld because all of my friends are watching it once a week, and I only have to commit 1 hour a week. And then all the buzz around, you know, Twitter and things like that happens in this like continuous marketing kind of buzz for the length of the season. And The Get Down, the only real buzz that came was that it was extremely over budget, the exceptionally over budget.
Yeah, extremely expensive.
And then it happened. And then now it's just there. It's on Netflix. There's no urgency for me to start it anytime soon because it's there as long as I pay, and I don't have any friends that are watching it now. You know, I know this simple answer to this, but I mean, do you see that could ever? Do you think they're losing out in some way because of this like lack of that continuous buzz for these big shows?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, to your point, I noticed that about my own viewing habits and of other people's viewing habits. They'll binge watch something like Stranger Things because it's just insane and they just can't wait to get to the next one. But not everything is that hooky, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, and then you look at, like, you look at Westworld and it's like, I cannot wait for tomorrow night to see what happens on Westworld.
Yeah.
And that kind of, like, drawing it out actually helps me stay in line with the desire of the show, like to be dedicated to it. So I do think that they're missing out, but you know, it's their that's the strategy they decided to pursue, is to make it all available all at once, like, you know, a box set on DVD type of thing, and they think that that's better. It, you know, it also puts pressure on their supply of original content, because if people say watch, I don't know, Stranger Things, and they burn through it, that you got to have more, right? So it's an interesting approach, and it is putting pressure on them to make more faster.
Right.
Going off the whole Westworld thing, I know with me, with us, like, it creates this like sense of urgency to watch it before someone else spoils it for me. Because I know in our like podcast text, we have people who will spoil it for each other. And I do it sometimes unknowingly.
I don't think you're gesturing at me, right?
You know, you try to be safe. I know a few times I'll be like, you'll ask a question, like just like a general thing, like not a big deal. And then someone goes, oh, well, that's what happened. And they'll spoil the entire episode. Yeah. And you're like, wait, I haven't watched it yet. So it's like, if I don't watch it by Monday, like by Monday night, there's a good chance something will have been said between that 24-hour period of a text. Because we like almost ignore each other sometimes. If we haven't watched an episode of Westworld, because we know
I didn't check my phone for multiple days because I had to watch on like Tuesday and I was like, I don't nothing.
Yeah, because someone was going to accidentally slip something in and go, oh yeah, that happened, and you're like, wait, what?
Yep.
So it creates that sense of urgency. Right. And I know with me, I've been watching Netflix more recently, and it's kind of like. It's just like, I'll do it when I can. It's kind of a thing. I can either choose it to watch it all together, or I can watch a few and then like, well, I'll come back in like a month or whatever. Because depending on the show, no one's talking about it. And also, too, it's almost in a weird way, people can understand you more if you haven't like caught up on it. Because there's so much given to you. You're like, you'll get to it in like a week or two. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's like,
Well, the flip side of that is the slippage, right? So it's like, I've been meaning to watch The Get Down, and I haven't started it yet. I haven't even bothered with it. Yet I watched all of Stranger Things. So it's just, it puts pressure on them to create more faster. It kind of puts pressure off you to watch it in a timely fashion. And it's certainly, they miss out on buzz and continuing social integration of their content. Yeah.
Because that's one thing it misses is that you can't build the buzz. It's like as Westworld goes each week, you can like build upon each episode or whatever. But
or the disappointment.
But
like,
it's just,
it's like, for example, Walking Dead. Like you because you've dropped all the episodes at once, you're not going to have Talking Dead, which is a thing unto itself. right?
Yeah.
So it's just their decision. That's what they've made. They made a decision to do it, and I think they do miss out on certain aspects.
So last time when I gave you a hypothetical $1 billion, you said that you would create... Maybe you want more at this stage with how hot the content market is, but you said that you'd create, you know, a house of brands strategy, which is similar, you know, to the TV model that we know of, where Comedy Central does comedy, and you know, each kind of channel has their own. They try and carve out their own little niche in some way.
Yep.
You know, you're
seeing
Amazon,
that now in the streaming space. You're seeing that right? With the what is the horror one? I can't remember the horror one. But there's a horror specific streaming service. There's a comedy specific streaming service. There's a Brown Sugar just launched the other day, African American content streaming service. Mm-hmm. So you're seeing all this fragmentation happening, which is, if I remember correctly, and I don't because it was a year ago, that $1 billion, the idea behind the House of Brands was to basically start cutting up the different into different, making different services for different constituencies. So that you could speak to them directly.
Yeah, and so we're seeing it on Amazon and Hulu now, and then each of their own little, their own little micro channels, basically, that are, like, the Criterion spun off from Hulu, or, you know, ended their deal and created their own
channel
now, Filmstruck. Right. If I gave you $1 billion today, would you still buy into that? You know, would you create a little micro channel? Would you try and create an umbrella that competes against these other ones, or how would you burn through $1 billion, Barry? This is critical information.
Besides exotic sports cars and blow,
right? Okay. Exactly.
Just kidding.
You can use half of that for that if you really want.
I would never. I would never buy an exotic sports car. I don't know. That's a good question because it's gotten a lot more crowded and there's a lot more players. Yeah, I think I would probably do niche streaming services and invest in original content to try and make that happen. Because right now, with aggregated content, everybody who has deep pockets is in the game and they're paying. So, you know, your $1 billion is going to be gone pretty damn quickly if you're trying to get other people's content. In the case of Brown Sugar, I think they're owned by... who was it that launched them? I can't remember for the life of me, but I think they own some of the content. I think that's the direction I would go with $1 billion, is to create fewer niche streaming services and then invest in original content in them.
Yeah, that makes sense. Brandon, what do you got?
I'm trying. So going off the Filmstruck thing, because Criterion was at Hulu and and left. And then I know also you had things like CW at Hulu and left. So Hulu feels like it's losing a lot of its, or losing some of its content to some. Well, they have people jumping ship, I feel.
Sure.
CBS having their own thing with All Access. And I feel, and then you have Amazon and Netflix and their thing. How do you see, can Hulu compete with, say, Netflix or Amazon, or are they kind of falling by the wayside because you have certain little jumping ship like this?
Hulu was always hampered by its organizational structure before it got bought.
Yeah.
So now that it's not hampered by that, I think they can do pretty well with Next Day TV as their space, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't think... and they are getting better at original content. Their first original content was just horrific.
Yeah.
It was terribly done, and it was not a great way to make a first impression. So I think that there's room enough in the area for them for Next Day TV. I don't know about originals. I don't know what they're going to do. Because you've got Amazon and Netflix shelling out huge dollars to get talent.
Yeah. Do you see other networks breaking off and just forming their own streaming service, like, say, CBS or CW?
Yeah, absolutely. Because you want to make the money for the content that you're providing,
right,
as opposed to making some money licensing it to someone who's making a lot of money. And that was the big thing, like with Starz, when they walked away from Netflix, they kind of realized, hey, wait a minute, we could have our own service, and rather than license it to Netflix, so they dropped off the service, and that was going to be the problem with aggregated content, anyways. someone's going to write a big check, or they're going to realize that they've got the assets. Why shouldn't they have a service? Because it's only going to get easier to create a streaming service.
And when you do that, how would you compete to make sure that people are buying or are subscribing to that service?
To Hulu?
Oh no, just like say if these certain places break off, like let's just say CBS. How do you basically take that audience that was at Hulu and bring it to CBS All Access or whatever?
Well, you have to, whatever differentiation you have, that you have to beat mm-hmm. that drum. And then you have to take advantage of content to do creative, interesting marketing concepts to get people to even consider it. So it's not enough to say like, hey, we're a streaming service and we have TVs and movies. Isn't that great? It's like, no, we've got the best X, or we're only CW has Y. And then you have to use that content to kind of get cultural integration the way Netflix does it now. So you have like the Stranger Things kids on late night TV doing skits, or they're doing Facebook Live, you know, that kind of, you've got to do that. But it's got to be based on something that is unique to whatever your service has.
I think the thing that a lot of the, like, because I signed up for the CBS thing for like, I don't know, to cause suffering in my life, basically. I was curious. I wanted to see what it was like. And the user experience was so abysmal. It was so unusable. I think a lot of these companies are sleeping on the fact that, like, Netflix has been pouring. You see it even just in the interaction differences on the Apple TV with the HBO app and the Netflix app. I mean, they're in some ways similar. But under the hood, there's so much more sophistication going on with Netflix. For example, this is like 2 weeks ago, but for Westworld, I got a little icon in the app that was like episode 6 or whatever. I clicked it and it was the summary that like spoiled the episode. It was like the promo for next week's episode. And that was on the homepage when I loaded, right? So I was like, whoever did this, they've ruined my world. But, but I think like CBS and, you know, if you can join into something like what Amazon's doing, where you can become a channel within their package of Prime, like you can add Stars and you can add these others, then you get all their technology stack for free, more or less, you know, whatever their cut is.
Right.
But to build all this stuff up from the ground, I think people are
totally underestimate what it takes. And, you know, Netflix, the UI UX team there is just relentless at creating a better experience, data-informed, but they also do consumer research, and it's not just, we made a streaming site. Quick side note, though, the Apple TV Netflix app, that is, they're forced into that whole UI by Apple. It's not their app. They would not have it.
Yeah, and it's kind of clear, right? I mean, it seems like there's some shortcomings that Apple's like forced everyone into, which is just an Apple thing. But I'm sure that Netflix would build. I'm sure that Netflix could build a better app if they weren't restricted by Apple.
Yeah. When we first got on there, I had to actually go over to Apple headquarters. Reed and Steve emailed back and forth, and I had to go over to Apple headquarters and negotiate pixel by pixel what our logo would look like in black and white, because it could not be in color.
Wow.
And that was something we just did. We never did. We never just had a black and white logo, because the old logo was kind of tough to use in that way. But Apple just controls everything on the Apple TV and the ecosystem.
This is a small thing, but I mean, we're running the bases quick here.
Okay.
But since we talked last, Netflix, you know, rebranded or did reintroduced. The logo, right? Yep. It was a minor revamp, but
it was a pretty good one, actually. It was So the reason for that was because the old logo was actually a logo with logotype within a red box, right? So that means the logo was small, and the smaller it got, the worse it got. It was not very usable at small. Plus, if you slap that onto cover art, it actually becomes more obtrusive. It becomes this badge. The new logo allowed them to adapt it. And much how you see like in a Batman movie, the Warner Brothers logo at the beginning looks like it's of that. It's still Warner Brothers. It's still the rolling weird kind of thing. But it looks like it's part of that film. That's what the new logo allowed them to do.
Yeah.
So it was It seemed minor, but it was actually pretty significant. I will say the one thing that, and I can't put my finger on why, but it kind of bugs me when I log on to Netflix and I see the Netflix logo on like 80% of the content, the cover art. It just, it kind of makes me feel like it's all just generic. And I can't, it's not, obviously, it's different genres, it's different stuff, but for some reason when I see it, I'm just like, eh, all right.
No, and that, but that gets back to what we were talking about before, right? It's like, how far can that brand, that Netflix brand stretch, right? Because I'm with you, like, I see like, oh, they've made these original things and they slapped the logo on it, but it doesn't necessarily evoke, you know, because I've seen some of the more recent things that have come out. There's one that's like following around photographers around the world to famous places and their photographs. We watched that last night. And it was good. You know, it's okay. It's not Planet Earth. It's not the highest quality thing. No. But it was, you know, I'm probably going to keep watching it. I don't know. I would rate it 3 or 4 stars. I don't know. Yeah. You're going to force me into one of those, right?
Yeah.
But it doesn't necessarily make me just jump up and down and say, guys, you got to go see this new Netflix show. It's almost more like just, you know,
filler?
Running the out. Yeah, filler in a way. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that, well, that's my concern is that because I see the logo, I think they're gonna try and create as much quality content as they can, obviously.
Yeah.
But they can't all be home runs. They don't all have to be home runs. They just have to resonate with the audience, specific audience. But again, when I see all those logos on there, I just sort of think, okay, is there something else I can look at? And I don't. It's kind of weird. It's a psychological reaction, and it's nothing to do with the fact that I don't work there anymore or anything. It's just. It almost makes it feel like they should stop putting the Netflix logo on content and just promote the content. Because you're already in the Netflix environment. Mm-hmm. You're in the Netflix environment and you see the logo when the movie or TV show starts.
Yeah, I mean, that's almost the thing, right? Is it feels like they're really, really, really trying to enforce, like, we made this. We made this and we're real proud of it.
Which was good at first. That was a good thing to do at first because it was so unbelievable that the streaming service was coming out and punching above its weight, creating HBO quality type stuff, but now it's the point like
everybody knows.
Yeah. You know you make good stuff. Let's just focus on the. But I'm sure they have data on
it. Because they're now working more as a studio in a way because they're having to create so much content and even like not just TV but also getting into movies. Like I know they're doing Will Smith's movie. I think that comes out next. Bright. I think comes out in a year or two.
Yep.
But yeah, it's like you don't want your entire thing to be loaded with just Netflix logos on your entire like suggestion thing.
Yep.
It's like I think you need to have them be able to choose based off the story or whatever. I don't think you have to need the brand because I think Ben said it's like you're already there at Netflix. You know they make good content.
You're in the app and you see the animated logo in front of everything you watch, everything you put on that's by them. So. Maybe stop the logo and go.
All right, this is like a recent news related item, so that I'm not throwing back to a year ago. But there's more and more bubbling up of you know X company interested in buying Netflix, which the main one being Disney. Another pretty famous popular tech writer said that Apple should buy Netflix, which I read his reasons and. You know, don't really agree with, but the Disney move potentially makes more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts?
Yeah, I actually think the Disney move would make a ton of sense. And they did something like this with Miramax back in the 90s, right? So it's they do this sort of thing when they want to jump into something, they'll acquire someone huge. The Apple thing, I can, you know, I got some heart for that. I get it. But I don't think it'd be a good fit and I don't think that they would do it. I don't think that they would go that way. And another company that was talked about barely was Microsoft, but I can't imagine that happening.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, it almost seems like people with big pockets getting itchy to swipe the credit card, right?
Yep.
I mean, the Disney buy makes sense because there's a strong cultural alignment and synergy, you know, to get all... And then, I mean, they already have the deal. They've already struck the Disney deal that's going to put so much of their content onto the service over the next couple years. So,
we'll see. We'll see what happens. Reed was always steadfastly in the camp of we want to be an independent company, and we want to be around for 100 years, and we want to get huge on our own. So, but you know, he's getting older. Maybe he wants to retire. Who knows? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, hard to say.
Well, and in some ways, so, you know, I'm going to keep hammering here. In some ways, the competitive market has changed a little bit because Amazon has shifted. Okay, so we talked last time that they have Prime, and you were kind of saying, you know, they should break it off and make it more of a head-to-head matchup, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you say that, but, you know, Amazon famously just barely turns a profit, right? They're the most aggressive company about funneling profits from different divisions into other divisions.
Yep. Yep.
And it seems like from the rumors of what they're paying for some of these films, rumors of what they're putting into content, and the usage numbers, which seem like they have to be low in a way because it's limited to the U.S.,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
like they're funneling massive money into content, but they have this orthogonal business model, right? They're
source of revenue.
They're giving you free content. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, free content once you're a Prime member, and then they make it up on toothpaste and toilet paper and everything else. So their potential earnings could be way more than Netflix
Absolutely. They've got an exponential earnings model for content that Netflix doesn't have. So if you're comparing who's going to make more money off their content, Amazon, hands down. But, you know, they're still going to be racing for each other for who's going to get the content. But, yeah, no, Amazon definitely has a different model and a more robust revenue model than Netflix.
So then, I mean, if you say that they're going to make more money off their content, that's the name of the game for Netflix, right? I mean, they're running a business to make the most money off their content. So then if you would sell, right? Well, you would sell to Disney if possible, because if you're not going to make the most... Like over time, Bezos is clearly like trying to buy an Oscar. He's trying. He's ruthless.
Yes.
He's a ruthless individual.
He is. Yeah. Well, I mean, I told you guys what the true intent of Quixtar was, right?
Right.
So it could have happened. It could have happened that Netflix would have had a company that they could have monetized across the video stuff. Not as big as Amazon, but it would have been something. But right now, all I've got is revenue. Now they are the other thing that they're doing is they're licensing some content back to like TV, so they're becoming a content provider to other places, which that's nice, but it's still not an Amazon opportunity. So you're right. Yeah, it's like at some point maybe it makes sense that like, all right, we've done all we can, hand it off to Disney.
Do you think that they would ever license some of the underlying technology to some of these other niche players that pop up, or
I can't imagine it. I can't even fathom them doing that. Just because, like it happened. The conversation happened all the time of should we white label the DVD service, and it was like four hooves down, no way. And it's the same goes for all the technology that they're creating that they don't donate to the open source community, which because they do that a lot.
Right. I mean, that's why I bring it up is that they're already open sourcing a lot of the infrastructure.
But there's a lot more to it than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for those, I don't know, I feel like this is one last interesting bit of all that is they're open sourcing that infrastructure layer. And then the infrastructure is still predominantly AWS.
Yes.
You know, they announced that they finally migrated away from all their own data centers earlier this year.
God, that took forever.
To AWS.
That took forever. Yeah. I remember when we started that. Yeah. I was still there, and that was a while ago. So, yeah, no, they're still on AWS. And, every once in a while I'll hear people say, aren't they worried that Amazon's going to screw them over? And it's like, Amazon would be screwing itself over. So that's never going to happen. Because if they blow the trust of Netflix, all other clients will leave them. So it's not in Amazon's best interest to screw Netflix over in that way. It is in their best interest to outbid them and buy an Oscar and go that route.
I have one more question to go back on the whole Disney possibly buying Netflix. How, because that's two big brands, if that happened, that's two big brands coming together. Would Netflix change in any way, or would they try and make sure that doesn't change? Like, if that happened,
I would think that they would not want to change anything other than just have deeper pockets and a broader network.
Mm-hmm.
But Netflix is the way it is because of what they do, their culture, everything about how they operate. And if they start functioning like Disney, it'll go downhill. If they got rid, there's a fair amount of brand equity in the Netflix name at this point. So to get rid of that in favor of Disney, I think would be short-sighted. So that would, I don't think that would happen.
No, Disney was, but Disney, one good thing they do is that when they buy something, they tend to take a step back and just let them like run it the way they have ABC. It, like Lucasfilm or Marvel.
Yeah. Well, Lucasfilm, you could argue that they're
Pixar.
Yeah, Pixar.
Pixar is a good example.
ABC.
ESPN. Let's not forget all the plethora of things that they
right, own. Exactly. And then, you know, yeah. So it would be a good fit, but I don't think they'd change anything for Netflix. I don't think they'd try and change Netflix, and I don't think Netflix would want it to.
No. But yeah, I think we're getting up on time here for you, Barry.
Yep.
I will say that.
Thanks for coming back on.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you. Really appreciate it. And I said in the email, I watched Evil Dead since we last, or Evil Dead 2 and 3 since we last talked. And
now you gotta
I can
watch.
Tell you.
You got to watch Ash vs. Evil Dead now.
I know. But see, the thing is that last episode, Ben threw me under the bus, but I don't think Ben's seen any of them.
Oh.
And...
No, I stayed in the background. I was just like.
No, so it's. See, I'm. Yeah. The TV show is the perfect. I think they've got the gore content right and the humor right. And it's just wonderful to watch, and the effects are a little bit over the top and kind of goofy sometimes, but that's part of the charm. Whereas like Army of Darkness, some of the effects were just crude and not good, but the humor was pretty good. So
yeah,
that's awesome. Well, I will
get on and watch the show at some point. Ben will probably never watch it. I'm just gonna be honest. Ben has so
no.
Much...
I'm at the age of life where I just have started owning up with like I'm just never gonna watch that. It's just never gonna happen.
That's fair. That's fair. Is it because you're just not a fan of Bruce Campbell? Is that it?
Yeah, I'm just, you know, I've got kids and I don't have a lot of time. And then I'm also just like. I'm just kind of an old man now where it's like some of the violence in Westworld, I almost bailed out of Westworld. Like episode 2, 3, 4, I was like, man, I'm just so old. I'm just such an old prude because it's like, this is boring. Like, I just don't need to see people murdered in the street over and over and over again. You know? Yeah. So that's just.
So I had a similar reaction, not so much like I'm an old man, although I am clearly, but it was so much like, okay, I think this is going to lead somewhere. This is making a larger point, so I'm going to stick with it.
Right.
But if it didn't go anywhere, then it was just going to be like...
Yeah, okay. I was really on the fence about episode 5 or 6 where I was like, look, they got to really...
Get something going.
You know, because the hook of the whole show is that it's, you know, it's a Nolan thing, you know, Jonathan Nolan, and that it's got this, you know, deep philosophical underpinnings and all these, you know, complex ideas, and then... I don't know. I was like, man, this is obscured in some pretty base level.
Yes.
Which is part of their play, right? I get it.
Yep.
But after a while, I was like, look, I get it. Let's find some of those deep philosophical underpinnings.
Yeah, I was,
you know?
I'm with you on that, and they did. They've gone there, so it's good. So
yeah, it's picked up.
Yep.
Well, Barry, again, thank you so much.
All right.
Really appreciate it.
Yeah. Great to chat with
you. A year from now, we'll have you back on again, and we'll recap what we've done, what's happened.
Yeah, let's put it on the books. 2017.
We'll be even older then, and we can complain about how cold our soup is.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Barry.
Perfect.
Thank you, Barry.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
All right, take care.